Welcome to the Die As Cast Podcast.
Welcome everybody to the Die As Cast Podcast, The Expanding Waste. After a thrilling battle of the Stormboars, the companions of St. Blaine the Bearer sat around and expressed dismay about being known as the companions of St. Blaine the Bearer.
Other people connected. Know us. Yeah, we know us for different things.
Yeah.
They exchanged gossip. They exchanged feelings and past and then sang each other campfire songs. Ilex revealed that she is an ambassador for the Alcide, and Maeve, after unburdening herself about her family and her patron, with Chisk's help, managed to shrink her newly swollen body down to its original hotness.
Wow, that's so erotic. That's so
wrong. I am 16. I am 16
my
years
body.
Old.
So,
oh my goodness.
Speaking of erotic,
Chisk
enthralled his companions with how new piney are made. And Gideon
via hotness
talked about the disappearance of his mother's as they all sat around the late night campfire, marveling and reflecting on what they had heard. Maeve happened to look up, feeling a surge of power, and saw a man's butt slowly descending from the sky.
It was truly horrifying. Like, I have not seen very many butts in my very short life, so
no.
Seeing this come down towards my face. And
this very tiny one.
Very yes, tiny, shriveled little
especially
walnut
with
butt.
A surge of power.
We can all remember Maeve's campfire song, which I only remember as coffin.
Blood. My question is purely about headcanon, because I'm picturing this man fully nude, cross-legged, lowering himself down to the ground.
Oh,
and that's a pretty
open.
That's a visceral mental image that I'm seeing in my head, and so I just want to be clear that we're all seeing the same thing.
We did talk about Danny DeVito's naked ass. I don't know that the actual person was naked.
Tell us now, Kevin. Decide.
Decide.
How much scrotum do we see?
Right. And also, if he's cross-legged and floating above, we're seeing up his butt.
We're getting whole.
All of it.
And dangling bits sort of in the empty zone.
The man needs a wax.
I've seen a few Facebook comments, listeners of the Die As Cast, about maybe the podcast being too crass. And I'm sorry for those listeners. I hope you're stuck
We gotta play some D&D, y'all.
Not the podcast. It's just me. Okay, so he's not naked. Everything's tucked away and covered in cloth and very demure. That's fine.
Tucked away.
Yes. But
great.
I don't know how Wolfgang will feel now about you talking about this fellow's scrotum in any sense.
Fantastic.
Or not.
So we'll reveal the source book at the end of the episode.
All right.
Carry on.
Okay. So he is in this long ochre robe trimmed in scarlet. He has this quite impressive looking staff in one hand and this glowing ball in the other.
I'm sorry, you keep saying some phallic stuff that I can't get out of my brain.
Diego, stop it. Everybody.
Okay,
impressive
I'm
staff
serious.
And glowing ball.
I am classically trained. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. So yes, see, now I'm thinking about it. The staff, the magnificent staff and glowing balls. Filled
you
with
said
potential.
Ball.
There's one orb, guys.
There is one orb. Yes.
He's not talking about
However,
the orb, man.
Kevin, I hope this character wasn't meant to be intimidating because we kind of messed that shit up.
We really
quickly.
Blew that to hell, I think. Yeah.
He settles down and he adjusts himself and he says, I had the distinct impression that you were looking at my ass as I settled down here.
Well, you did come down ass first, so like I don't know what you expect us to do.
Yes,
you could have made a normal entrance and you did not.
Ass first entry is really quite asking for some looks, isn't it?
And now that we've seen your butt, introduce yourself, please. You have some important news, but who the heck are you?
And we'll introduce ourselves after.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You go first.
I just want to ask each of you who you are. I just want to confirm that I am sitting in the presence of the companions.
Oh my God.
Let's start with you there. You of the forest. You look like an Alcide.
Me, yes. Well, I'm afraid I'm not a good one to start with. I'm notably not a companion of Blaine McNutt.
And so neither are we. Sorry. Neither are the three of us.
Yes, none of us. You have their own group, but...
Secret is, they really just don't like to be known by that. So if you want to get anything productive out of this lot, it seems like it's not a good place to start. Anyway, my name's Ilex, and I'm friendly.
You're awfully familiar there, Ilex. And you, Mr. Tree, Mr. Piney.
Hello, finally, someone who knows. Someone of culture. My name is Chisk, thank you. And I am a member of the Kiss Partners. I don't know who the companions are.
I see.
No idea.
And this young lady here?
If you had seen me not like an hour ago, you would not have thought that I was a young lady. I was a hulking behemoth of a thing. But I am Maeve, and I am back to my normal hotness, so get in all of your looking while you can.
It feels weird.
Thank you. And you, Mr. Bearfolk.
Hi there, I'm Gideon Sweets, and yeah, I wouldn't call myself a companion because Bethesda is a very litigious gaming group, so we are the Kiss Partners, royalty-free.
My name is Vermes.
Is what?
What?
Sorry, what did you just say?
I am Vermes the Second.
Vermes?
Like vermin? I've had enough of vermin. If you are a rat, get out of here, because I do not want to deal with you.
You're right.
Composure.
Vermes the Second.
Where do you come from, Vermes, and why have you sought us out?
Well, I'll get Chisk to roll... Let me see, what would he roll? He would roll history, please, Chisk.
Boop, boop, boop. Oh, son of a... 10.
All right.
Oh, no.
That doesn't help you at all.
You don't know who I am when I tell you I'm Vermes the Second.
Let me think for a second. No.
I am the Exarch.
The what?
The Exarch.
Yeah, keep going on that, brother.
Yeah, I don't want to seem rude. It's just that you're using words that I don't understand. And so...
Mm-hmm. Well, have you heard of the Magocracy of Alayne?
Is that one of the mage kingdoms that happened in the war?
Yeah, that's right. It's one of the mage kingdoms that happened in the war. The capital city is Bemia.
And the mageocracy is called Alayne?
Yes.
Like your Kevin Cork and mine Griffin Cork's next door neighbor, me growing up, Alayne?
Yes. Not Elaine. Not Elaine. Okay. Alayne. All right.
Alayne.
Is this the same Alayne who's very well known for their dance moves where they sort of use their fingers and jerk around in a sort of pointing and cool late 90s motion? I'm getting a lot of blank stares from the Gen Zs in this
group. I'm getting some sitcom vibes off of you, Mr. Vermes. They too.
Alayne.
Yes, you keep saying
it. I don't know what to tell you. Our capital city is Bemia.
Okay, so why are you here from this guy?
We host a festival. I thought for sure it's a festival for Thoth Hermes. So I thought you would have been there or heard of it before, but you seem to be relatively sheltered in the woods, I guess. I am the Exarch of Alayne.
Can you... You have a dialect that's hard to understand. Could you try your best at common... dialect? Like if you're an Australian, try your best American accent.
I'm talking here, and I'm telling you that I am the Exarch. I have never had this happen to me before.
Yeah, I mean, the Exarch us neither, right? We don't know.
Exarch?
Exarch.
That's a sort of title, is it?
For Thoth's sake, I am the king of Alayne. I am the head of Bemia and the head of the Magocracy.
You could have led with that.
Yeah,
king is like a big deal.
I have never had.
You must forgive us.
You're right. Let's move on past that.
What is the correct way to address you, Your Majesty? Well,
my title is very elaborate, but for the simplicity's sake, you can just call me the Exarch.
All right,
that's the
Exarch.
One I have trouble with.
The Exarch.
The
Exarch.
Exarch. It helps if you get it like his voice. Exarch.
Yeah, we'll just say it exactly the same way that we hear it.
Yeah. Exarch.
Exarch. Are we saying it correctly?
Exact.
Oh, this is so disrespectful, you guys. I am so sorry.
I think the butt first entrance purposes.
Really killed, like, whatever grandeur you had coming in.
Yeah. Not your butt.
In a way, this is refreshing. I'm used to thousands bowing down to me, so having a normal conversation with you four is interesting.
I think there is very little that is normal about this conversation, but... No pun intended. Why did you come here along this road to fucking nowhere? I don't know.
Well, I was going to explain more of what I've intended, but if you guys have no idea who I am, it would take a podcast length of explanation. Let's just cut to the chase. I want to know how you summoned Mavros.
Oh my god. Why?
We didn't summon Mavros. Mavros came to us.
We have very little agency, you know? Mm. We kind of just do things and things happen to us. It's like we are like the heroes of a story or something. It's very peculiar.
Can I ask why you want to know?
Well, being able to summon Mavros and control Mavros seems like a peak kind of magic thing that I would... I've conquered most other kinds of magic, so I thought that would be useful.
It has nothing to do with the fact that Mavros has just set out a call a against all mages, and you live in a magocracy. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, the call against the mages, that flares up every 50, 100 years. I've dealt with that before. I'm not concerned about it this time. Mavros will
keep
Mavros
that. Once he gets
calmed down, once he's had a few more battles, he totally will forget about that.
Kevin, can I make an insight
check? Oh, sure.
Unless you want to tell me more things, but...
Tell me what you're trying to determine.
Is this a bluff that he's not worried about Mavros and this threat against the mages? And, like, is this true that it's every 50 years? I got a 17.
A 17 is pretty good. His voice, now it's hard to see his face because it's wrapped up. All you can see basically is his eyes. And there's a little bit of like sort of red glint in his eyes. But from his voice, he seems genuinely dismissive of that particular aspect.
Well, I'm glad you're so confident about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind telling you what we know, but I don't believe you've conquered every magic type.
Well... I'm just going to have to live with your skepticism there, young bear.
You could prove it to me, you know, as kings might.
I could, but I'm not gonna.
Don't mock my dialect. We're already on shaky grounds, but...
We did mock his dialect.
This accent is pretty definite, but if I could layer a mocking of your dialect on top of it, I would do that. Sure.
Oh boy. You're like cartoonizing his dialect. What is that called?
I guess I'm offended and I won't be speaking to you any further.
Well, from what I hear, you're kind of prickly with god types.
Don't pretend you had to confirm who we were. You don't know who I am.
Here's the thing,
no
your
one really
highness.
Knows anything.
If I should have called you that, your highness,
Your highness.
Your hiney?
Oh, yes.
No. All right, babe.
Give her inspiration.
You can have inspiration for that. That was a dad. Yeah. That one.
Stupid that jokes get results, people. Don't be afraid.
I think Maeve is the stockpiler of most of our inspiration.
100%.
I have 4, you guys.
Wait, what?
Spend them.
Oh, wait, you have...
I need to start spending them.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maeve. You only get one at a time.
I can't stockpile them?
No, I'm afraid not.
I can't stockpile them at all. No, this whole time I wasn't spending them because I thought I got it in my head that we had a rule where you could stockpile them. Okay, well, I have one whole inspiration, which is one more than all of you.
Absolutely.
So I win, D&D, I win.
Makes you wonder how maybe the other three could get inspiration.
Your highness.
One character stockpiled 4.
Anyways, as I was saying, your highness, we did spend some time with Mavros. However, We did not summon them. No, do we control Mavros in any kind of way.
So it was just the death of all of his followers that brought him to Midgard.
Someone summoned one of the Titans.
Ah, that's the other thing. The Ancient Ones. There have been a plague on this lands for years, and I have worked and worked. I have worked my ass off to try to get there to nullify their damage. I know you have no point of reference here, but the Goat of the Woods, formerly Makana, completely let me down there.
I don't mean to quibble, but was it not the Majocracies that summoned the Titans in the first place?
Oh, it was the Majocracies that summoned the Titans. Absolutely. That was the problem. They were egged on. They were led by the nose.
So what made your mage kingdom different from the other ones?
Well, the original mage kingdom was Kal'Marath. And after we broke away from the elves, we all started to fight amongst ourselves and split off into all the Majocracies.
Right, but what was what's the difference between the kingdoms? What was yours known for?
Well, Elaine is the one that still exists. Everything else has been destroyed.
Every other magical kingdom has been destroyed?
Yeah, that's right. We're the last surviving. I mean, there's a few cities, but there's no more kingdoms except Elaine.
And you're really the exarch of it? You just came out here on your own with no retinue or anything?
I was wondering about that. Where is your posse?
I don't need a posse. What do you mean a posse? You mean like a bunch of hangers on?
If you have conquered all magic, like then I guess it makes sense you would go by yourself. You seem like a very confident individual, but
listen,
it just seems like a king would have like an entourage to follow him.
We could kill you right here.
All right.
We could. We've done it. Not saying we've done it, but we've done it.
We will.
Yeah, we could just summon Mavros again and freaking nip this in the bud.
Yeah, in fact.
In fact.
All right, listen, it seems like we got off on the wrong foot here. Let's let me do this more properly then. And he takes this small, looks like a round mushroom, seems like a sort of a rounded mushroom. And he sort of flips it on the ground and a small pup tent pops up.
Who's that for? Who's this for?
Well, let's go in and we can have a conversation in there.
I learned a lot about, like, going into spaces with people you don't know. Stranger danger.
Especially magical spaces.
Yes, who come at you butt first?
We've learned a lot about poisonous mushrooms in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sketchy.
That's how you set a trap.
Anything you want to say in front of me, you can say in front of Potemkina.
Oh, no, I'm inviting you all. I'm inviting you all in. I'm sorry, Lord. It's like the people are so rude to you. But it's okay.
Wait, Potemkina, you know? Yeah, hold up.
You know each other?
She says, yes, I know of... I don't know him, but I know of him because I am a wizard, and we started originally with as a wizard. And I saw him at a gathering in some city I was too young to remember.
Okay, that's all good and great. But we're not going in the tent, Vermeer. What's your name?
All right, Vermeer. Can I get you anything? Would you like anything? What would you like? A sandwich or a hoagie?
I had enough.
Those are both sandwiches.
I'll take some tomato soup if you have some.
Yeah, we can get some tomato soup. Would you like that with or without pretzels?
No, hot take. I don't like pretzels. That's Diego talking.
Yeah, Chisk, what do you mean? What do you mean, Chisk?
I pull out my fucking sword.
Okay, everybody calm down.
It's fine, Chisk. I don't even know what a pretzel is, so...
That's a pre-episode goof, ladies and gentlemen, if I've ever heard one.
All right, hold on just a second. Louis, could you bring up some tomato soup?
Oh, this is like Luigi's Barbershop all over again, if anyone knows what that is.
And in a few minutes, this hand hands you out a bowl of tomato soup.
A hand?
Thanks, Louis. No, they don't want to come in. Everybody can relax.
Just a second.
Take a smoke break.
Excuse me, your exarchness. I sort of bend my front legs and sort of very, very awkwardly try and get myself
Oh, no.
To look in this door, because I imagine it's low to the ground, is it?
It is, but how it opens up to this grand... the door is about 4 feet tall.
Yeah, okay, so I do have to bend down. I look inside. What's inside there?
You see this grand staircase that leads into this huge palace area, and there's servants and guards and walls and walls and walls of books.
I look at everybody. It's a palace inside. It's a palace inside.
Is that just a kitchen?
Maeve runs in.
Oh.
Oh, Maeve.
I don't know if we should...
Okay, Maeve, so you run down these stairs and you get to the bottom of the stairs and you have flashbacks of being raised in your stepfather's house. Because there servants there to immediately take your clothes.
So good. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Look at the flooring. There is no, like, cobblestone or, like, weird gothic arches or anything. This is very light and bright. Like, you could do a lot with this space. It seems very versatile.
Maeve, what are you doing in there?
You guys, it's huge in here. It's like a castle in here.
And did you die?
No, one is interested.
I don't...
It smells like roast beef. Like, good, like, with, like... rosemary and like a mustard that they probably
has red tinted eyes. I'm nervous.
I have blue eyes, which is normal.
Blue is good.
I think about it.
That's good lightsaber color. Red is bad lightsaber color.
All right, so he's standing there sort of holding the flap of the tent open. He goes, I can talk to you any way you want. Do you want to sit down and have something to eat? And Potemkina joins Maeve. She comes down right away. And she's,
damn it, Potemkina.
She's insatiable.
She is cowed, though.
Guys, the cushions are suede.
No, there are people waiting for our help out there.
One of us has to be unmuffled. We have to be in one of our two spaces.
It's because the camera keeps cutting in and out of the tent. That's why, you know.
It's muffled from every perspective. Yep.
But it's bad camera work, so it's going the wrong side.
That's really funny. That's a good bit. Sorry, keep going. Just makes a good point. There could be a big battle in the forest that we already said we'd go to.
Your Exarch, how long will this
take?
Well, considerably longer than I originally supposed. Yes.
Fine.
But it's quick. The question I have for you is... you know what else? I have another question to ask you now that I think of it.
Inside the tent or outside?
Guys, there are scones!
Oh, fuck it. I'm going in.
Damn it!
I take my tomato soup and go in.
Yes. All right, so the three of you are in. They seat you at this fine table. You know, it's not overly large. It's not ostentatious. It's about 10 feet in diameter. And the Exarch sits down and he starts eating these strange pretzels filled with this... wondrous brown cream.
God, what a bad way to say peanut butter.
Gideon, are you going to go inside?
We also have a tent set up here. We're just on the side of the road. I'm going to pack this up. I'll come in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if it's okay, I'm going to stay outside. I just really don't think it's going to be very dignified for me to try and climb in that door.
Right.
Oh, he lifts the flap up, and I like, you don't have to bend over to get in.
Okay, well, I don't, thank you. I don't love this. Thanks. In we go.
And as you walk down the stairs, Alex, each of the stairs forms this grip so your hooves don't even slip on the slick wood.
Oh, thoughtful. Thank you. This is very nice.
Yeah, I'll kind of clang around in our worst tent and like pack stuff up and bring it into the big
one. Gideon's packing the whole campsite by himself.
You just hear like canvas fall over.
The time he gets it, he's going to miss the whole conversation.
Yeah, so there's a sort of a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo moment and all the things start to pack themselves up as he waves his staff around and they all march sort of Sorcerer's Apprentice style into your bags.
My tent's moving on its own. Get them! They're stealing our stuff.
The bags start to prance into the thing with you.
Oh my god. We're so out of our league. He just fantasied me.
I haven't seen that.
Exactly.
All right, I'll go in.
So
I'm going to eat a scone angrier than you've ever seen me.
Angry scone eating. What does that involve, Gideon?
Kind of a, rather than chewing, it's more of a just shoving the crumbly bread like into my mouth so half of it falls on the floor.
Cookie Monster
and that's fine in my books.
And chewing open mouth.
Yeah, we love that kind of foley on the Dias Cast podcast.
Yes, important foley.
If you didn't hear anything there, listener, it's because I'm doing you a service.
All right. So he sits down and he's eating his strange concoction. And he says, so I was hoping you guys had figured out some route to get Mavros on here. Because as you know, well, maybe you don't, I've been struggling to contain the Ancient Ones for a long time. I've been struggling to keep this voice up a long time.
Oh, no.
But there is definitely something you can help me with, because I think one of you for sure. Yes, you, Bear. You remember Faye the Pirate Queen.
Yeah, of course I remember her. How the hell do you know her?
Well, I contracted her.
To do what?
I got a deal with Faye to find me the Viridian Codex. It's a book. It's an ancient book.
Would I know anything about this book?
Yeah, or would I?
You guys can roll me your history.
Oh, boy. Oh!
What 10.
Do I add? Oh, I only had one. I got a dirty 20.
Dirty.
Whoa!
Hey! Gideon hasn't heard of this book before, but Maeve, because of your past studies, because of your schooling, the formal schooling you had, the Viridian Codex is a book that deals with, well, it outlines a lot of the philosophies of Bakana before she became the goat of the woods. And so it was written supposedly, no one's seen it for hundreds of years, but it was written supposedly by Bakana herself as she was getting involved with the Ancient Ones.
Isn't that the goat that they've been talking about? The goat god?
Yeah,
the Black Goat
Black
Cult?
Yeah,
the Black Goat Cult.
Bakana became the Black Goat after her dalliances with the Ancient Ones.
By dalliance, do you mean...
Stopping.
Yes.
Stopping.
Yes.
Oh, that's polite, Gideon.
Sorry, I'm not here. I don't know any of this.
This is,
she was tempted.
This is Bakana's
She
book.
Was tempted by the Ancient Ones. Let's say that. That's what would be taught to a teenage Dampir noble girl.
Tempted
noble
by woman. Their swollen bodies.
Oh, they're turned swollen to my hotness.
Oh my goodness.
They're swollen, tentacled, luxurious.
Bad. Different kind of, yep, uh-oh, we're veering. Uh-oh. Pull up,
so,
Kevin.
Wait. Vermis, this book, I did not know that it was, like, real or accessible to people. I figured, you know, Bakana maybe would have, like, kept it. I don't know, like a diary or something. But I didn't know that you could
well,
get it.
As,
Did
as
you Mia- also know that Mavros and Bakana are hooking up? Because we just learned that, and like that is a whole thing. Or at war, I don't know what happened. It was like a whole thing, apparently. But like, it's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's drama. Mm-hmm. You seem very unfazed by this.
Well, no, they were, you know, well, the gods are always... drifting around. They don't call it polytheism for nothing.
That is a good point.
Is it polytheism?
I kind of like you. I like your tent and I kind of like you, even though you did come at me as first.
Okay, but...
polytheism. If so, I could give you an inspiration point, Kevin, I would.
Yeah, we can give you inspiration for that one. That's good.
No. Don't give him inspiration. He's got a freaking armory behind
What, like he's going to fight us here in this mushroom tent?
If he wanted, he could give himself inspiration, whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah. And he wouldn't tell us.
Actually, no. I got an 18. Fuck off.
So I guess, Vermis, my question is, why do you want this book?
As I... tried to explain, I'm trying to get rid of the Ancient Ones, because they are uncontrollable.
But why do you think that Bakana's book will help you do this?
Well,
I mean, she had, as you say, dalliances with these creatures.
She was strangely attracted to these Ancient Ones, and she's the one that encouraged, she encouraged the mage cities to summon them. And that created the chaos, the destruction. They just about destroyed Elaine, and many mages have died. And too much energy has to be spent on now trying to get rid of them. So I thought one of the things I could do in my spare time was to see if we can get some more information and find a way to send the Ancient Ones back to their own plane.
So
but the Viridian Codex I've been searching for I don't know, about 170 years, and
it's the first time I've had a hint of anything.
What makes you think we can find this for you? Like, if you have conquered all magic, why have not you found it? Like, we are the Kiss Partners. We are not magicians or wizards, or actually none of us are wizards. Barely, like, me and Chisk are really... Well, I guess Ilex, too, probably. You have magic, Ilex.
That's not really what we're talking about, is it?
But, like, magic is not our thing, I guess. I mean, kinda. Not like this.
All I know is that they originally approached the council and said that she had some information, and so we agreed. And she said she was sending off two of her best women to find it, and I promised her the Crojack in return, and I haven't heard from her.
Oh, there is a lot that just...
Well, we can certainly speak to that.
Yeah.
But you I was just going to ask what the Crojack was. What's that mean? You keep using words that we don't understand.
And saying them like we know them, too, yeah. Which is a little bit condescending. Vermis.
I'm sorry. I forget what experience people have or don't have. I sit around all day with, like, 100-year-old wizards, and we all talk very...
I understand.
It's very jargon. I try to be... Without jargon.
Yeah.
Jargon
when you're
free.
In line with Tahuti and have the knowledge of the universes at your hand, like I do, it's kind of a bargain. It's a burden, rather.
Really,
even words kind of blend together at points. Continue.
Well, the Crojack is the full name is the Crojack Charleston Cutlass.
So,
and Gideon,
so
you've heard
say
of that.
When you say the Crojack, it's a title or a name?
It is a name of an infamous sword, a cutlass.
The Crojack Charleston Cutlass?
Charleston
yes?
Cutlass.
Yes.
Charleston Chew. Crojack, of course, named after the lovely Crojack who left the Dias Cast a review. If you'd like your name in the Dias Cast, please send us a review and you can get snuck in like Crojack.
Yeah, Crojack.
I've heard of this. It's like a famous pirating sword?
Yep.
It must be a cutlass. Sure, okay.
It is a cutlass. And it's you were very stylish.
And Sara, you said you report to the...
No, you were going to give the Crojack to Faye.
As reward to get the codex.
Gideon! Faye! Oh,
right.
No.
I've already done been here.
Okay, you're already there. Okay.
I just gotta ask something. This Bacchanal. What's her name?
Bacchana.
He's Bacchana.
Okay, this Baklava, is she associated with one of your mage kingdoms, or is she like a god?
Bacchana was a goddess. She was very focused on the pursuit of pleasure, let's say it that way.
And every single mage kingdoms, even though they were at war, took advice from Bacchana?
Well, they were at war, but they didn't escalate the war until Bacchana introduced the Ancient Ones to them.
Right, so this one god or goddess introduced the idea of summoning the Ancient Ones to every single mage kingdom.
It started with one of the kingdoms, but then once one kingdom had an Ancient One, then everybody wants an Ancient One because there's Ancient One envy happening, and then... this is on top of all the other fighting we were doing. We were doing, like, firestorms and plagues and all that stuff. The Ancient Ones were just one of the tools in the shed, as it were.
It was a way to impress each other.
Well, as a way to destroy each other in order to show that we were the best kingdom.
I see.
But I don't want to defend our role in the war. I'm saying that it got out of hand. It was an escalation.
Sure.
So this book is going to help de-escalate. Basically.
But it sounds like the book is what got you in there in the first place. And you know that because you know that Bacchana turned into the Black Goat because of the book.
Not because of the book. She wrote the book before she turned.
And you're trying to know the mind of your enemy. Is that right? By reading the book?
No, there was actually rites and rituals that and spells that were in the book. And
that could help to unseat the ancient ones, or...
We are trying to unwind the spell that brought the Ancient Ones here. We can't kill them, although you guys did.
I'm going to channel Divinity as my action, and he needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh!
All right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He gets 42.
Shut up!
42.
Are you for real?
He's conquered all schools of magic.
Yeah, this guy is a king.
That sounds like a made-up number.
I do wonder about that, because Magi would use intelligence. I don't know where his wisdom's at.
Yeah, whatever.
what are you trying to determine?
So, channel divinity, I have channel divinity read thought. If he fails the wisdom saving throw, basically I have access to his surface thoughts for the next minute. But I can also cast suggestion as an action for the next minute.
That's not right. 42 on the channel divinity, though. There's no way.
Yeah, he just looks at you and he goes, "So what do you need to? What are you trying to figure out there, Chisk?"
Well, I'm just trying to gather whether, like, what your intent, if your intent is truly what you say or not.
Well, you don't have to trust me. We don't have the codex here.
You're right, but I guess I'm trying to figure out what you want from us.
I would like you to take over from Faye, because I haven't heard from her or these two women, so I don't...
So then we do have to trust you, because if we do this thing for you, this is in the wrong hands. This book could be catastrophic.
Well, it's already been catastrophic. They're already here.
For all we know, it could make matters worse.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
May we have a moment?
Here you go. And he gestures, and another room opens up.
Another little tent pops inside.
It's a big, grand ballroom. He goes, "Here, you can use the ballroom. We'll wait here. I'm going to finish my soup and peanut butter."
Maeve grabs a scone and goes into the ballroom.
Gideon, this is completely in your court. This is well within your history, your mum's. We won't do anything unless you tell us what you want to do. Or I won't.
I am intrigued, because it sounds like whoever is in current possession of the Codex is also who kidnapped my mom's.
It's possible.
So, I just like to know from him, I guess, where it's rumored to be at the moment.
For sure, we can get that information. Do you want us to tell him what we know about Faye and your mom's? Or the threat?
It's one of two things, I think.
For all we know, he could be listening right now.
Right. He either already knows, and if he doesn't, I don't want to tell him.
Okay, so it is a secret then.
So we say we'll do it, and get the information, and then we don't have to turn over the book.
I want to read the book, personally. Maeve. So badly. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean...
Are you rubbing it into Chis' face that you can't read?
I don't really see a downside to us saying yes, unless we have to sign something or swear something. But here's the other thing. I think we should haggle for a reward for you three. It's dope that I'd get a pirate sword, but that's not great for you three. So let's up the ante a bit.
Is it dope, Gideon? It's infamous.
What do I know about the sword, Kevin?
Roll me an arcana check.
Fuck. 6.
You do not know very much about it. All you've heard about it is that it was used by a long line of famous swashbucklers.
But he called it the infamous sword.
Yeah, the original wielder was the pirate king, Crojack Charleston.
What do I know about Crojack Charleston, then?
So he had a fleet of ships that would have rivaled any other navy. And he used it to extort all the other coastal kingdoms.
Yeah, I mean, whenever anything in pirate world reaches any kind of fame, it's usually through infamy. There's not a lot of pirates that reach fame through good deeds. So in terms of like where I place the importance of it, I'm fine with infamy, but we should get you guys something.
I would be pleased as peaches to just read the book.
Right, but listen, this is just a little bit of my pirate mind, and there are very few people left living who know who Faye Bladewalker was, and also who my mom's. I think that's just me and Poddings, who know both parties. So we have kind of an opportunity here to, I don't know, ask for something from the person who said he conquered all schools of magic.
This is a good point.
He is powerful, but we hold the power in this interaction.
I don't understand Go ahead. Why he needs us so badly. Like,
he needs us because we're not important, because we're disposable. He can't send his important wizard people to go and get this thing. He needs to send people like pirates and rangers and the companions of Blaine McNutt.
Teenagers.
Right. I wonder if there is so much magic surrounding this codex is that it may not be discoverable by magic if it was created and used in 9 different kingdoms that value magic. He probably needs us because it needs to be found by analog means.
And all right. Dangerous
Bring
enough.
It on, then.
Here is my question, folks. This seems like a big enough deal that we could tell Suskin that we have to do something else.
I mean, like, depending where... It sounds like he doesn't know where it is. He probably knows where it's rumored to be. But if Faye approached them saying, I have information, we might not have a destination quite yet. But I'm going to pull out the chunk of rock that came with the package of one of my mom's fingers in it. And I go, it's cavernous or some such.
Oh, what is this rock?
It's nice.
I mean, it came with the warning package.
Got
this
it.
Is the only clue I have to go on.
Can I have a look at it?
Sure.
I smell it.
I like lick dead it. Finger. Yeah. No! Oh, it's been beside a dead finger.
There were fingers in there.
Okay, there's some ways to determine where a thing came from.
I'm disgusted.
But. Beyond using your eyes. So I'm just checking it out. Can I make a check, Kevin, to see if I know where this rock came from? Like what kind of environment this might have been from?
Yeah, you can. Roll me a survival check.
16.
You get a slight hint of dust or even burnt dust. It's a sedimentary rock. A sandy region. It came from a sandy region for sure.
Could be a desert, a coast. Super interesting.
The ash burnt smell would tell you that it came from somewhere in the wasted west.
Right. It smells like the rocks outside here.
In some of the areas, yeah.
That's why you came this way, is that right, Gideon?
I mean, at a point I was kind of just following Potting's. The burnt part is more than I knew.
May I look?
Yeah, here's this.
Just to see, I am familiar with caverns.
Here you go.
I would like to look at the rock.
All right.
Give it a taste, Maeve.
I'm going to lean over to Chiss and go, you're next. It's crazy that I haven't asked you to do this before.
Well, I don't know. The idea of your mother's fingers being in there makes me a little woozy, if I'm being honest.
Don't lick it. Don't lick it.
Okay, no, I lick it until I can taste the blood of the fingers.
God damn it.
Sorry, what check am I making?
What check are you making? You are going to make another history check.
Okay, I want to see if this rock is from any sort of like caverns or caves around near where I live. I got a 15.
As far as the different kinds of rocks that you have tasted in your life, this this doesn't taste like any of them. This is a new rock taste for you.
That's okay. No, we're kind of whittling down regions. This is truly more than I had. I had no idea. So this is all truly... I know I'm being sassy. This is all useful.
We all turn to look at Chisk.
Chisk. Do you want to taste my finger rock?
You can't really taste the finger.
Honestly,
like, yeah, but...
It's there, but it's like a whisper.
Gideon does one peek into the other room.
Yeah. You see the Exarch sitting there, like, his foot's tapping. He's sort of checking where a watch would be in a few centuries when a watch is invented.
Stop looking at your wrist. And I peep back in.
Pass me the box.
Here's the rock.
The box?
And I was going to use my other channel divinity, but nope.
No. Just taste the rock. Just taste it.
Just lick the fucking rock.
I'm just going to taste it. Can I do a nature check? Actually, no. Never mind. What were you going to say, Kevin?
I was going to say a nature check. Absolutely.
Fuck. 15.
The rock itself has no significance for you. You do notice that the finger seems unusually fresh. Mm. You know, with your compost experience, your tending, farmers, that kind of stuff... This should be much more wizened or rotted or dried than it seems to be.
There's some magic in this, that's for sure.
In the rock?
Okay, so the rock is not from Morgau.
And the fingers should be decayed and much more smelly.
The rock is from somewhere sandy, you said, Ilex?
See the way it crumbles. It's sedimentary.
And it's ash. What about... I don't know too much about the world, but are there volcanoes or something?
Gideon's going to put his finger on his lips and go, just in case, let's bring it back to the current task and speak about...
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Speak about other findings outside of this Fantasia hellhole.
You're right. You're right.
And
this is a good point.
I'll be honest, team. I did not see where the bags dance off to, so we might have to go looking.
Where the what?
Where the what?
I know. There's no time to explain. I walk back into the room. We accept.
Oh. Whoa.
Okay, I guess we
accept. We did say if he accepted, we would do it, so.
Here we go.
I run back into the other room. That's what we said, right?
Yeah,
but there was some negotiations.
Get in. Do you want your box back now?
Give it. I kind of shove it back in my weird little Smee pants. I come back into the other room. We accept again conditionally.
We all follow with our hands on our hips. Yeah.
So you can tell he's having some sort of dessert now and coffee. Yeah. Yeah. What's the condition? Let me guess, you want to barter with me?
Yes. Were you listening to us in the other room?
Is that part of the condition? Because I wasn't. I was too busy having my dessert.
Let's say from now on it is one of the conditions. You can't listen to us when we ask for a private moment.
That's one of the conditions. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Right. You're right.
Thank you. One. Here's the next one. The cutlass sounds like a pretty good prize for me as a pirate, but we're going to need some other rewards for my non-pirate friends. Buster... I point my finger at him.
All right, what would you like?
Oh, shoot. I step back. About that.
They'll tell you themselves. I won't speak for them.
Well, since you're having dessert, I would love a tiramisu.
No, Alex.
That is not a good price, Alex.
I only had it the once, and it was absolutely incredible. Such a beautiful combination of... Thank you. That would be delicious.
Alex, just keep in mind, I don't think you'd get it until after we find the codex, so it might be a long while. Oh. You might have a tiramisu before that.
I would like protection for the Rodgar Forest.
Whoa! Oh, whoa. Okay, hold on. We've upped the ante from tiramisu to protection for a chunk of the world. And what sort of protection would you like?
I want it to be its own sovereign area, not to be disturbed by any of the magical kingdoms nor cities.
Well, I tell you what, Jisk, I can tell you're trying to word this very carefully, like I've granted you a whisk. I've granted you a whisk so that you can help me make a tiramisu.
Chisk is my name.
Here's what I could promise you about that. If we can get rid of the ancient ones, we can eventually get rid of the Wasted West, and it will return to the meadows and forests and streams and lakes that it used to be. And it will stop seeping into the Rotgard and corrupting so many of the inhabitants in there.
Somebody else talk while I think.
Well, Chisk's very noble request has led me to one of my own. I would like your Majocracy's help in finding my family, my real one.
You want to know who your mother and your father are?
Yeah, sort of. Or, like, anyone who really knows who I am. And, you know, if it comes down to it, help protecting them. I know that's a lot to ask, so if it's weird, then whatever.
No.
That's what I want.
That's in the scope, from tiramisu to saving the Rotgard Forest, that sort of sits in the middle.
I demand that Alex gets to change her mind if she wants, after we consolidate May's request.
I take out my diary and I write it down. Like, Vermes will help find mom and dad. Star, star, star.
I know this may sound crass to you, but how does, 5,000 of whatever coin you want?
What?
Who are you talking to?
What?
I'm talking to you all. You seem a bit caught off guard, aside from the pirate bear, who is focused on the cash, so I'm offering you cash.
Just to be clear, Cash, in addition to the other requests, or Cash...
Or instead.
Instead.
Well, I'm saying we can work on the other things, but all of them seem less concrete than a sword, so I'm trying to give you something concrete to consider. Tiramisu! Tiramisu for everyone. We can say that.
Everyone.
Tiramisu for every... Ah, here's what I can offer you for sure.
Tiramisu for all.
Tiramisu for everyone in the Ropeguard Forest. So they all improve their attitudes.
Oh!
Okay, dang.
I think that would go a long way, honestly.
That would.
I'm sorry we're being glib. I think what we're asking for here is your trust and a partnership. Aside from the tiramisu, we have some big issues, and you're very powerful. It would be very helpful to have an ally like you with some of the things that we are trying to accomplish. We help you, and then you help us with the things that matter to us.
I'm happy to form some sort of ongoing arrangement, absolutely. I constantly need people I can trust who aren't involved in the politics of Elaine or any of the other mage cities. So, I'm sure we can work something out. I don't expect you to come up with the codex in the next couple of days. I've been looking for it for, like I said, about 170 years, and I've just now gotten a few hints of it. There's one wrinkle you should be aware of, though. I don't think it's whole anymore. I think it's been torn into pieces.
How many?
Aye, big old scavenger hunt.
Well, at least three. I have heard rumor and read a book about...
Three.
Did you know that rumor when Faye spoke to you, or is that a recent rumor you've picked up?
She knew. She was only going to find me a portion of the codex. Okay. And the deal, the tiramisu deal, is for just a portion of the codex.
That was actually my next question. So we can receive these rewards in increments.
Yeah, you could receive all these rewards for one increment.
Very right. Interesting.
Because they were going to give the cutlass to Faye for a portion of the codex.
That's right.
And now they are going to give you that same prize, along with a tiramisu.
What's the population of the Ropeguard Forest?
Hard to say. It depends if you're counting all the shadowy shapes and figures and sort of quasi-evil things that live there.
And I am. You know they're getting their tiramisu.
Well, it's hard to go door to door with them, you know. They're not super friendly.
For the Ropeguard census.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. I kind of turn and look at the group.
Okay, here's the thing. I will admit I did think of it a bit like a wish. A bit. You did come in all powerful and all, but...
And we are still. We're just changing our minds.
Oh, you...
I wink at Jisk.
But I will accept it, the Ropeguard Forest being kept as it stands and protected from all the spillage of the Wasted West. If that's what you're offering, that's what I asked, and you said you would do it. Yes?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm saying that if we got rid of the Wasted West, there would be less rot that would seep into the Ropeguard, so it would be healthier, and there would be fewer dark druids.
So that was going to happen no matter what. Dang it.
It's not going to happen no matter what, Chisk. It's only going to happen if we help to make it happen.
Right, but I'm saying it's not an added benefit, like a
well,
bonus,
I don't think
like
it's
a tiramisu
the kind of thing you
is,
can just
you know?
Snap your fingers and make it happen. Can you?
Well, I tell you what, you guys can have some time to chew it over. Like I said, I've been waiting around a long time. You tell me you're on board, and then we can negotiate later what you want from my resources.
Well, I think we should do it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think we let you know what we want from your resources.
Yeah, that's fine. Louie!
And this, like, fat little Aarakocra owl comes... waddling up. Most of his feathers
are
missing.
You are so cute!
No, most of his feathers are missing, so he looks a little bit... He looks like a little bit like the Roadrunner after some escapade. Actually, not even the Roadrunner. He looks like the coyote after some
That's
escapade.
Too bad.
Oh, that's
but he is very he fancy so dressed. He has on this bright purple and orange outfit that's all made of silk and satin. And he says... Actually, sorry, Louie, I forgot what I called you over for. I got caught up in what you look like. Louie, get these guys outfitted with whatever they need. Oh, and as I'm looking at you, I think, why don't you spend a day or two here getting caught up on your learning?
I'm afraid we have a prior commitment in the 1 or 2 day kind of time window. How long will you be here?
How do we contact you?
We're going to be here for, hold on. And you see him sort of walk off, and he levitates up, and he grabs this old book, and he's flipping through the pages. And then he licks the air, and he's looking around. He says,
"What is
listen,
licking today?"
Yeah, and he says, "Here's what we can do for you. We can get you to wherever you need to go faster. We'll put you on one of the roads."
Okay.
One of the Fey roads.
Yeah.
Fey roads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he hands you these three bright yellow roses.
How do these work?
These are portal roses. These are portal roses. You just got to find the right portal to get onto the Fey Road so you can travel quick to wherever you need to go, right?
How do we find a portal?
Again, we don't know how this works.
Repeating that.
Have you not been in a portal before?
No.
Okay.
Truly,
you follow the roses,
just walked out of the
they'll lead you
for the
to the portal.
First time in my life.
Same.
Oh, okay, then. So these portal roses will help you find the Veil of Portals.
Follow the roses.
Veil of Portals?
This is so unclear, Verbi.
This is some real Wizard Kingdom shit.
It's like all a
right,
knowledge
let me try
bias.
To
when
unwind
you know
it
something,
for you.
You think it's easy.
When you take these roses, when you walk out of here, you will see them point in a direction. You follow them, you will see a bright yellow door. That will take you where you need to go, where you want to go.
Do we have to, like, think about it or, say, I really want to go to this place or, like, do anything yeah. or does it just open?
There's no place like
that. Yeah, you can do all that stuff if you want. Yeah, for sure. You can do all of that.
For flavor.
I'm not saying for flavor. I'm not saying you have to do it as an extraneous, unnecessary thing. But, yeah, it's a bit extraneous and unnecessary.
And then the roses go away, they dissipate, that's it?
How often do they work?
The roses will die in a couple of days, yeah.
Oh, so it's a one-way thing.
Do we all have to use our own rose, or can we perhaps use one to open this portal and have the other two zip back here if we need, or not saying you'll be here in this very strange tent, but...
Once you go through the portal, just keep a sharp memory of where you go, and you will head back to that
same
area.
So there is
a
thought component to it. I knew it. Nobody walks through a portal just all willy-nilly thinking of nothing.
But, sorry, to be clear, does one rose transport the four of us?
Five.
No.
Sorry, Potemkin.
Potemkin is still here.
Yeah. You need the three. Yeah, I should be talking. I'll give all the details to Potemkin. This won't take
as
much.
True.
Sort of
that's not true. Potemkin didn't help the Thunderbore fight at all. You keep talking to us.
She's
I'm not
just,
cool
just,
Potemkin
just
at the moment.
She goes off and does her own thing.
Focused on meat.
I'm not even really sure why she came, if I'm being honest.
You need all three roses to get to the portal. Doesn't take you through the portal. You can walk through the portal okay. You need all three to help you find the portal.
I see. The roses just point to the portal and die after a few days, but they aren't consumed in the transporting.
Oh.
No, they will wilt at some point. But right now, where they're fresh, they'll help you find a portal. But don't dilly-dally once you get the roses.
Sure, we got a few days.
Do we have to book it once we're through the portal? Is the portal also going to tarnish?
No, the portal is the portal. The entrance to the portal might drift around a little bit, but once you're on the road, you're good. Well, you're not good. Understood. You're still on a Fey road, so you got to be careful about that.
Wait, are you in the Fey world in between portals?
Yeah, yeah.
On
that's
the Fey
what
road,
a road
you're in
is.
The Fey world.
This is a lot of complexity for somewhere that is truly just one day's walk from where we are right now.
Yeah, we might just be better off just running there.
Well, that's up to you.
I still take the three
I'm
roses.
Said.
Absolutely.
If you want to take
it. Okay,
so
bye.
You want
like
the roses?
Leave it into my space bun, so it's like a nice accessory.
Yeah, let's keep track of the roses. Who's got the roses?
Maybe. And I'm so sorry. You did mention outfitting us. Unless that was it. Was it the flower thing?
No. Totally happy to outfit you and educate you.
And I'm so sorry. Just one more question for you. How do we contact you after this? Because we're going on a dangerous errand that, you know, the most powerful pirate in the world failed ostensibly at. So, just checking, how do we let you know if things are...
Oh, I see what you mean. How do you let you know
bad?
When we...
Where do we find you?
Yeah.
What's your mailing address?
It'd be hard for you to find me, but I'll tell you what. Oh, that's what I was setting Louis off.
Louis comes back with these two stones.
Damn, and sorry,
gives
Louis.
You one of the stones.
Oh, I lick it?
No, don't lick it. This here is a blackberry. Dies.
Boo! Research in motion, sue us. Boo!
It's a blackberry, and it's not for licking. Is this what you're telling me?
That's right. Don't lick the blackberry. You can send me up to 25 words, and I will reply.
Oh, it's blackberry. Like sending. It's so... Ilex, it's so much harder than you think.
Oh. Because it's a stone.
Well, no, because it's hard to come up with the 25 words that you want to use for the message.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I believe our last one was Blade Walker crew, evac now, fuck.
I panicked. What do you want me to do?
Well, it sounds like you have experience with it, so why don't you hold on to it?
No,
it's yours, Jizz. No, I don't want it. You take it, Jizz.
Okay.
You have to be the one.
Why don't you
Gives out. I put my finger on my nose.
You'll be great, Jizz.
Makes me all flustered.
Hey. Okay, well, I'll when take it's time it. To use it, we'll work together, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, I mean...
Worked really well last time.
Out of the five of us, if there are communications needed in a high-stress, high-pressure situation, I would say it's you or Ilex that will communicate the most effectively.
That's true. We'll be the most distanced from the danger, but we should be.
I'm getting the sense that you don't, you're not big on bookish things, is that right? Getting a sense of that? Not
well,
a big scholar type?
I can't read at all.
All right, so he hands Maeve quite a thick, it looks like a romance novel. It's got this young couple,
this is what
a young vampire woman, and this chunky, manly half-elf on the cover. He's got long hair, and they're looking off to a mansion in the distance.
That looks
what
fun.
Is this? Why do you think I want this?
Chisky, he hands you what looks to be like a emergency exit row brochure from a plane. It's kind of got that
it's just
plastic
the coloring
it's
book.
All. It's just all the pictures. It's just all pictures.
Oh, this is wonderful. This is my type of
Ilex,
story.
He gives you this chunk of four different kinds of rocks, all with written in Sylvan lick me here along these four rocks.
I do know how to read
Gideon, Oh, so I see. So these stones she can lick.
Yeah. These, Gideon, he gives you a sack of small gems.
What? He gets paid?
So, yeah.
What? He gets money and I get this YA novel that nobody wants?
I'll pull open the drawstring of the bag and look at a gem. Am I going to learn through cash?
Capitalism.
As you oh, yeah. look at the one gem, you get a little bit of insight and a new thought, but it disappears.
Is it still a gem?
No, it's gone. Like it disappears, it turns into smoke.
The gem disappears.
But like, disappears. You get some ideas. Okay. It gets some ideas and thoughts about things.
This is very nicely tailored to each of our preferences.
Yeah,
this is very good. You really did master all magics.
This is, although I will say, in that private room is the first time that I've seen Ilex lick a rock, and you said you weren't listening?
I licked the sending stone
he
just kinda, now.
He sort of looks around sideways.
Not a good start.
I licked that blackberry, so it's very, it's, anyway.
Chisk, are any of you doing anything with your items?
I will read the dust cover of the book.
And you
I'll
also
open
get
it and read the inside.
Just sort of this flash of inspiration or thought. Not inspiration in a technical sense. You feel inspired.
And it does not stack. So don't actually even think about that.
But as you read it, the text disappears. And you read the story of these young lovers.
Can Potemkina learn too?
Potemkina does learn. As a matter of fact, he takes her off and he's talking with her quietly in the corner.
I'm going to try and listen to that shit. What the hell?
And you can see that around Potemkina, there is this hazy image of a glowing, twisted road. And she's nodding and she's looking at him and writing down notes. And she's nodding and he's explaining stuff. And you can see gestures and actions and motions.
It's because she's a nerd.
Right. That's right. I forgot.
It's because they're both nerds. Yeah.
It's very important when you're making alliances that you engage in other people's cultural practices. So if us absorbing this information is what he wants, then I think we should do it. and I lick all of my rocks immediately.
Oh, in one right. line, like a Jenga tower.
As you lick them, you have this sort of tastes and scents of the forest and of animals and wisdom, and you become 8th level.
Oh!
I read the book so fast. I read it all.
I eat the gems. I'm eating all the gems.
Don't eat those, kitty. Don't know your teeth.
I eat my book, too. I'm
chugging the gem bag.
They're not for eating. So, no.
I pop them like fucking warheads.
It hurts.
All his teeth fall out.
Just as you flip through your brochure, which takes you like 3 seconds, because you
I grab a crayon and just color it.
Crayon, that's so fucking coloring. Nice. Are you
There's like
me?
A maze on it that you can do.
Chisk is too precious for this adventure. Why did we tarnish him?
Chisk, you become 8th level.
Hey! And
Gideon, as you pick up each gem and try to eat them, they disappear into midair, so you get more frustrated and more
Gideon's
hungry.
Weeping. Please.
Gideon loses a level.
But with each...
I'm 3 levels of exhaustion.
With each gem, you learn new skills and new ideas and new tactics and new strategy. For you, Maeve, things deepen as you read deep into the story. You can get lost in this amazing romance, and all of the clothes are so highly detailed, and the emotions as they flip back and forth and back and forth and sort of works out, and then his mother doesn't like her, and there's all this drama, and you emerge as an 8th level warlock.
Erotic fanfic writer.
Maeve, were there some good parts in there?
Time passes quickly for each of you, and as you all come back into that sort of central dining room area where he's now starting on breakfast, you're all up to like maximum hit points.
So did we sleep?
It felt like you entered some sort of dream state. Absolutely.
Do we feel refreshed?
It's not the same, Kevin.
So it's not refreshing. The same.
I can tell you this. Just because yours took literally 30 seconds to go through, you had an extra few hours, so you had it.
Sleep.
You can have a whole actual sleep.
Whoa! Okay.
As a matter of fact, there would be like this perfect bower of perfectly soft moss or deep grass or whatever it is that Chisk would think was the perfect place to sleep. Actually, does Chisk lie down to sleep?
Yeah, he does. You can see his maple hole blowing a maple bubble and then shrinking.
Oh my fucking god.
Yeah. I don't think, you know,
that's
if you want
so
us
revolting.
To stop talking about it, we're bringing it up.
This is Griffin Cork for the Dice Cast podcast. I've never done it before. That's it for this week.
We can't possibly say anything else.
Oh my god.
All right.
Absolutely sick.
Yes. So I would just finish it off by telling you that Potemkina, she comes forward and you hear her muttering about the silver streams. And she will explain that she has been taught a new level of wizardry and she has become a geomancer.
A geomancer?
Mm-hmm. A geomancer is one of the specialist wizards can be in Midgard. So he opens that. He goes up to the top of the stairs and he holds open the tent flap and he says, "So remember, if you need that, talk to me. You send me a message and me or Louis will get back to you in a reasonable amount of time."
Well, I can't wait to hear Louis's voice.
Louis doesn't speak. He only texts. That's why I have brought him here for this.
That's why you brought him here for this?
That's why he's so perfect to handle all my correspondence.
Is there like a text-to-speech button on this thing? Because I can't read, so if I need to receive the text, then we're screwed.
No, yeah, you don't have to actually try to write it in. You can just
Compose yourself and say with the words.
Anyway, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, he does mean receiving messages, but it's too late. Thank you very much to Cobalt Press for all of the lovely Midgard material. Two maps and melodies for all the sweet jams you heard in this Diaz Cast episode, and to Morgan Ermter for all of the sweet graphic design done for the Diaz Cast. And let's talk about things that people want to talk about this week. Diego.
Hey, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I've been streaming also, so you can go follow me there. Everywhere is I was almost doing the Chisk accent. You can follow me everywhere. That's at nice. Diego Strettle, including Twitch. You can also watch me on The Imperfects on Netflix, and you can go play New Tales from the Borderlands, where I play Octavio. Bye.
I just downloaded it, and boy, it's going to be a good time. I get to play as Diego. Moving on. Yeah. Emma.
Hello, I'm Emma. You can find me on Instagram at CinderemmaB. I deleted my Twitter.
Good for you.
Wow. Maddie. Good move.
You can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Hunter Smith and on Twitter at Madeline H. Smith.
I'm not judging.
I'm not very active on either, so have fun looking at my old posts.
You are, now I will say you are more active than Emma. I think the last tweet I saw from Emma was like 2012.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Wow.
Time to send that Twitter account to the graveyard for sure.
Kevin.
Well, I just signed up. I didn't jump off Twitter, but I did sign up to Mastodon. So you can find me at FunPirate at, I forget, but you can find me somewhere on Mastodon. You can
What's look is that Donald Trump's new social media or?
Oh, God.
What's Donald, what?
Donald Trump has opened up a Mastodon server and he's calling it Truth Social.
Goodness. Oh, God. Sorry. I had a real sun scare moment if you actually signed up for Donald Trump's social media network.
No. Mastodon is open source software.
I don't know what Mastodon even is.
Yeah, Mastodon is the new Twitter. That's where everyone is going as
it's
alternative to being on Twitter.
It's a kind place. Said, it hasn't been corrupted yet. But
you said funpirate at toot.community. That's what you said.
At toot?
That is the one.
That's what you said.
You can find us on Discord, the Diaz Cast. You can find us on diazcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Diaz Cast.
You can find me on all platforms at Griffin Cork, except Mastodon. I'll never join. And for any thoughts or questions or concerns, you can shoot me an email at griffin@diazcast.com. And a big thank you to Crypt Fiend on our Discord, who has started making some AI fan art of our main cast of characters here.
Woo!
It's so good.
You've probably seen them on our socials by the time this episode is released, but here is my shout out. Thank you, Crypt Fiend.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao.